The writer of Hebrews talks about running the race that is set before us in chapter 12, verse 1. In any race or competition, one competes so that they may receive a prize. How many of y'all ever been in some type of competition or race where you were running to receive a prize? Well, the prize to the victor or the top finishers, they are given something. Those that finish first, well, they receive the highest prize. Those after the top finisher will receive a prize in relation to where they have finished. As you all know, we are also in a race. We are in a spiritual race. But what separates the spiritual race from the carnal race is this, that first, we are not in competition with nobody. Ain't in competition with Sister Evelyn. I'm not in competition with Brother Burl. I'm not in competition with Brother Fitz, even though he is a couple of months older than I am, and he wants to try to ride me all the time. Both of us going to hit 50 this year, and we already said we're going to crash the blessed bunch, so y'all better look out. Y'all better look out. Second, no matter where we finish, even if we are dead last past that finish line, as long as we finish this race, we will receive a prize. This race that we are in begins with our salvation. The moment you receive Christ as your Savior, boom, you are now in the spiritual race. Then it continues with our works and finishes when we cross the finish line of the end of our lives and cross over to the other side, or those that are maybe fortunate enough to live when Christ returns, you will have then crossed the finish line. But what are our works? What are our works? Our works, now get this, somebody. Our works are an outward manifestation of our inward relationship with Jesus Christ. Where that our outward manifestation is being faithful and obedient with pure and righteous motives to the Father in all things that we do as we glorify Him every single day of our lives. Where we edify the church and we encourage believers as we produce fruit for the kingdom and mature in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We also want to talk about, there are three elements that are consistent with our works. The first element that is consistent with your works is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness, which speaks of your discipline and dedication in all seasons of your life. The parable of the talents taught by our Lord in Matthew chapter 25 talks about our faithfulness in our works. The second element that is crucial is your obedience. Not only do you got to be faithful, y'all, you also got to be obedient. Can I say y'all to y'all today? You know I'm from North Carolina. I don't say you all. I'm going to say y'all. I shorten it up a little bit. Jesus describes his complete obedience to the Father in John chapter 17, verse 4. Where Romans chapter 5 and Philippians chapter 2 talks about the obedience of our Lord in his works, which serves as a complete example to all of us. The final element that is crucial in your works is your motives. Your motives. Why are you doing what you do? Are you doing it so that Pastor Jennifer can call your name out and say you did a wonderful job in preparing for the ladies' fellowship? Are you doing it because Pastor Anthony can call you out and say you're doing such a wonderful job being an usher? Is that why you're doing it? Why do you do what you do? Which speaks to the condition of your heart, which must be pure and righteous. When Samuel was to anoint the next king of Israel after Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 16, 7 says this, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And all of God's people say it. Yeah. Jeremiah 17:10 likewise says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. As man can see the outward appearance of our faithfulness and obedience in our works, only God can search and see deep within your heart as to why you do what you do. Only God can. Once we have determined to be faithful and obedient with our hearts pure and righteous, and our motives are pure and righteous, we will then perform our works without murmuring and complaining. So with our works come rewards. How many of y'all know you're going to receive something on the other side? You're going to receive a reward. You will. Once you have received Christ's show of salvation as your Savior, then your works begin. Then Christ is going to reward you for your faithfulness and your obedience and for why you did what you did. So if some of y'all were doing something other than trying to please the Lord and to glorify him, guess what? God tells us at the bema seat of Christ that your works will be burnt up because your motives weren't pure and righteous. And so, come on, y'all, can I get a witness, somebody? Some of y'all going to be smelling like smoke on the other side. Why? Because your motives weren't pure and righteous. I want to make sure that my motives are pure and righteous. So if I pass by y'all, y'all can smell that breeze. Y'all won't be smelling, pastor, what happened to you? No, not me. The rewards that we receive from our Lord will never perish. Though I believe there are varying types of reward for believers, God's word names a certain type of reward that awaits all believers. Turning God's word to Revelation chapter 22, we're only going to key in on one verse for today. But that verse is going to serve as our scripture text as we talk for a few moments under the general heading, The Believer's Crown. The Believer's Crown. Let's pray. Most Heavenly Father in heaven, we always want to ensure that our motives are pure and righteous as we live to please you. Father, I pray that your word would just go forth today, that it will bless your people. May your people learn something today, Lord, that even if they may not understand how they were to perform and to conduct themselves before this, may they now understand and realize that what this is all about is just truly, humbly, and pleasing you, so that you will be glorified and so that everyone will be able to see our works and be ready to glorify our Father in heaven. Father, may you be honored and glorified today. We ask that you would continue to forgive our country of our sins. Please heal our land. And we continue to pray for the safety and peace of Jerusalem. They shall and always will be your people. And as I close my prayer, may you bless your servant today with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And though he continues to believe that he is not worthy, that you have blessed him with such an awesome call on his life, may your servant just always remember that it is not by his might, it is not by his power, but it is by your Holy Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Bless your servant and keep him humble as he lives to please you every day of his life. So it's in the sweet, precious name of Jesus Christ, your servant prays. And all of God's people say it with a mighty shout. Amen. Amen. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." As I stated earlier, I believe that there will be various types of reward for believers for the types of works that we do. These rewards will cover everything that produces fruit for the kingdom, from righteous living to being obedient to pure and righteous motives, to caring for the poor, to taking care of our families in the way God wants us to take care of our families, to glorify God and everything else in between that produces fruit for the kingdom. However, the crowns that are outlined in God's word cover certain works by believers. There are five types of crowns. Five. There are five types of crowns that can be awarded to believers. Five. In the Greek, there are two words used to translate crowns in the New Testament. The first is called diadema, which is a royal turban worn by the Persian kings. It represents kingly or imperial dignity, which is the crown Jesus will wear. The second word is stephanos, which is the crown worn by the victor, a symbol of triumph during the ancient Olympic Games, which is the crown that will be worn by believers. So the first crown we want to talk about today that is available for all of us is this, the imperishable crown. The imperishable crown, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 25. Do you not know that those who run in a race will all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for this prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. The King James Version calls it an incorruptible crown. This crown is for those of you who strive in your works for excellence, or you are disciplined in your service. But notice how Paul says the race has an analogy for the Christian journey. Running a race requires what? Stamina, endurance, discipline, and hard work. This is exactly what we as Christians need when we are running a race in our daily lives. Are there times when we feel like we are not acting like Christians? Oh, come on, can I get a witness, somebody? I know not y'all, but just people that look like y'all, right? Not y'all. We may not feel like praying sometimes. Sometimes we may not feel like reading God's word. Sometimes we may not even feel like wanting to come to church. Man, I ain't feeling it today. I'm going through a little something. Dog died. Ain't got no food. My car leaking. My biscuit fell on the floor. Then the dog ate it. He didn't want to lick my face smelling like a biscuit. My day just ain't going right today. We're going to have those days, y'all. We're going to have them. But that don't mean that we stop and give up and say, man, I just can't do this no more. We can't. Because what awaits us on the other side, that imperishable or that incorruptible crown, or seeing Jesus Christ on the other side, is too valuable that we need to give up because we stump our pinky toe. We cannot give up in this race. It is during these times that we have to reach deep inside to have that discipline to continue to live righteously, have the endurance and the stamina to stay focused and dedicated in your prayer lives and stay in God's word. Christ didn't give up on the way to Golgotha. Yes, he was wore out, no doubt about it. I think y'all would be wore out too if somebody beat y'all all night and you had to stay up. But sometimes we have to have help on this Christian journey. Face it, being a Christian is hard work. I like to say Christianity ain't for wimps. It ain't. And we will not always be tiptoeing through the tulips with Christ sitting down eating tea and crumpets. It ain't gonna always be like that. It will take discipline and a lifetime of striving for excellence as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. And all of God's people say it. For those that stay the course with discipline and striving for excellence, let me say that again. For those of you that stay the course with discipline and striving for excellence in your Christian endeavors, in the end, you will have an incorruptible crown awaiting for you. Can I get a witness? So here's the next crown we want to talk about that's waiting for us. The crown of joy. The crown of joy. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you, the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? This crown is for the soul winner. this crown is for the soul winner. For what a joy it will be in the presence of our Lord to know and to see those that have been saved because of a word of witness that we have said to them. Don't think that the crown of joy is just for every single person that comes up here and preaches behind the pulpit. If you have had a part in leading somebody to Christ, well, guess what? Even if it's one person, you have a crown of joy waiting for you on the other side. Oh, come on. Can I get a witness, somebody? We all should be excited because we know what awaits us on the other side. Oh, I guess I must be the only, like on Wednesday, I guess I must be the only one getting excited about this. Whether you want to believe it or not, your actions is a witness for Christ. Your actions are. For how you carry yourself, how you walk, how you talk, how you respond to opposition, your work ethic. Everything that you say, everything that you do can be a tremendous influence on those around you. Everybody has a circle of influence. Whether you want to believe it or not, everybody has a circle of influence, and everybody is watching somebody. And you will probably never know it until you get on the other side of glory and you receive your crown of rejoicing because of your words or your deeds that were the catalyst to cause somebody to come to Christ. Somebody know you're a Christian and you... That could have been the time when they really needed to talk to you about something. But because you maybe have been having a bad day, you just didn't want to hear, oh, come back some other time. I don't want to hear. Always be ready and willing to receive whoever it is that God may send your way. Because you never know how God is going to use you. But when we are saved and when anyone is saved, there is joy. Don't y'all know there's joy all throughout heaven when someone is saved? And in the presence of the angels, how do we know this? Jesus said when he was teaching on the parable of the lost sheep that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents in Luke 15:7. And in his teaching in the parable of the lost coin, Jesus said there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents in Luke chapter 15, verse 10. So when you receive Christ as your Savior, the angels were joying because you just received the Lord as your Savior. That's a wonderful thing. James 5:20 tells of the soul winner. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. How many of y'all have done things y'all been ashamed of? Well, we all have. Hands, feet, legs, everything coming up on my end. We've all done things that we are ashamed of. But don't y'all know it's the blood that can wash away all of that? And God said, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far I will remove your sin from you. And he done said he won't even remember it no more. That's what he tells me. Thank the Lord for that. Because I know sometimes, even in this human state, we all have skeletons in the closet. And sometimes those skeletons like to rattle, do they not? Try to remind you of your past just to try to get you jacked up in your Christian walk. You tell them skeletons to go pound sand because they ain't listening. Y'all know how it is when we go to family reunions, and our family reunions back in the South, man, I tell you, we talking 300-400 deep. And my kids be like, man, they are relatives? They are relatives? They are relatives? Wow, how many we got? But when we do have those reunions, ain't it so happy to see people that you ain't seen in a very long time? Ain't it so happy when you see that? People that have gone before us, that have known the Lord, and they are awaiting us on the other side. Don't y'all know what a joyous reunion is going to be when we get on the other side? The marriage supper of the Lamb. We all going to be talking about how good it is. Oh, talk to me, somebody. It's going to be a wonderful time in the Lord. Man, it ain't going to be like no funeral procession. It ain't going to be nothing like none of that. We're going to be having a wonderful good time, eating and singing and singing our praises and joy to the Lord. We all got to get excited about that. We ain't going to be aching no more, bones popping, none of that. We're going to have new bodies. We all going to be good. Feel like you run a 100-yard dash in 2 seconds, you're going to be good to go. I don't know. All of our senior saints said amen. And again, all of our senior saints said amen. Hallelujah. Hollywood can't write a script better than that. This is why it is so critical that we can't stop praying for that loved one. Don't stop. Or someone you know who you want to be saved. Don't stop praying for that person. Don't stop. For it could also be your diligent prayer that God wants to see where that person is going to open up their heart to receive Christ. You don't know how God is using, but you just be faithful and you be obedient. For you that win or have a part in winning either one soul or many souls to Christ, you will have a crown of joy waiting for you. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness, somebody? Here's the third crown we want to talk about today. The crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This crown is for those who have completed their Christian journey with integrity, with their eyes fixed on the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and who anxiously await his appearing. It is for those who have completed their ministry, not compromising in your faith even in the midst of extreme opposition. Paul was coming to the end of his life as he wrote the letters to Timothy, who was in Ephesus, and Titus, who was in Crete, where his final letters were there before his final execution. Here Paul is saying that he was faithful in his calling, 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In the Marine Corps, when I retired, we like to say that there is a means to an end. There is a means to an end. But for the Christian, our end is eternal life with our Lord, where the means is to live a faithful and righteous life. There are going to be some people who's going to be ashamed of the appearing of our Lord. Why? Because they're going to be doing something that they shouldn't be doing when he sounds that trumpet. Then they're going to be like this. Don't be like that. Don't get caught doing something that you shouldn't be doing. That's why it is imperative that you live your life righteously every single day, because you never know when the Lord is going to come back. You don't know. Jesus even said on his earthly ministry that no one knows either the day nor the hour but my Father in heaven. But of course, Jesus knows now because he's back with the Father. He knows. It is that keeping into perspective eternal life and the loving, the joyous meeting with our Lord that should motivate us to daily live righteously. We should be motivated by one thing: knowing that we're going to see Jesus Christ one day. That should be our motivation for living. If ain't nothing else can motivate you, know that one day you're going to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you have a choice on how you want to see him. Do you want to see him as your Lord and Savior, or do you want to see him as your judge and executioner? You have a choice. The last I checked, we all going to live somewhere. I always like to think about the atheists. They ain't no God. They proudly display their signs. I don't believe in God. They proudly display it. And we've all seen the bumper stickers. We've all seen them. But check this. Just because they don't believe don't mean he don't exist. He exists. And he is coming back for his people. And that's why I want y'all not to get ready, but you got to be ready. Because if we are alive, I want all of us to hear that trumpet and to be raptured up on the other side. Then I'm going to say, I'm going to check y'all later. I'm going to go surf the galaxy. I'm going to have a wonderful time on the other side. But what does it mean to stay true to the faith? What does it mean? What does it mean to stay true to the faith? Faithful to your calling. Faithful to your Christian life, keeping eternity in your sights, maintaining your spiritual perspective, and staying on path to glory regardless of the issues of life until the end. In three words, don't give up. That is what Paul means when he says in 1 Timothy 6:12, when he encourages us to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That is why it is critical that people will be able to recognize in some way that you, there is something different about you. People should be able to look at you and tell you, you know what, there's something different about you. If they can't see that, well, then you need to go back to the throne and check yourself. Pastor likes to say, check yourself before you wreck yourself. I'm going to just say, check yourself before you jack up. But everybody should be able to see that there is something different about you. They should be able to see that. There's absolutely nothing on this side of eternity worth compromising your faith in the Lord. Nothing. There ain't nothing on this side that's worth it. There will probably be some who would not be joyous to see our Lord, like I said, and would not love it when they see him. Because they're going to be ashamed of his appearing. Because they're going to be doing something that they shouldn't be doing. The Christian life, keeping it to eternity in your sights, maintain your spiritual perspective, and you got to stay on the path to glory. Don't be ashamed of his appearing. Don't be. 1 John 2, 28-29. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. In other words, ask yourself this question. If Jesus raptured you at this point, right now in your life, would you be ashamed? If Jesus raptured you at this point right now in your life, would you be ashamed? Boy, it got really quiet in here. But even when we're living our lives every day, ask yourself, if what I am about to do right now, if Jesus was to rapture me at that point, would I be ashamed? It's still quiet in here. Don't be ashamed at his appearing. That is why we should practice living to prepare ourselves to meet the Lord. We got to be prepared. Be prepared. He has gone to prepare a place for us in John chapter 14, verses 2 through 3. Is not it only fitting that we prepare ourselves and be ready to meet him? Maintain your eternal perspective by holding on to eternal life in loving and anticipation of meeting Jesus. Don't compromise your faith. Don't do it. Don't compromise your faith. Don't compromise your morals. Don't compromise your ethics. Don't compromise your belief, regardless of what the issues in life give you. Continue with your righteous living. Continue to complete your ministry and your journey. Continue with great joy and anticipation meeting our Lord. Why? Because when you do, at the end, there will be a crown of righteousness awaiting you. Can I get a witness, somebody? Here's the fourth crown. We're almost done. Making good time, too. The crown of glory. The crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. This crown is for those who are spiritual leaders in the church. But it's just not only pastors, y'all, but the church school leaders, worship leaders, deacons, anybody who has been entrusted in a spiritual leadership role in the church. But notice the characteristics of the spiritual leaders that Peter highlights. First, they are overseers. Spiritual leaders must realize they are in a position to care for God's flock. And because of that, they must ensure their influence must be backed and supported by Scripture, as the Scriptures must be the final authority in their lives. But not only in their lives, the Scriptures should be the final authority in all of our lives. Second, they are led willingly. They are to lead willingly. Spiritual leaders must have a heart to want to be in this type of service. Not out of obligation or doing it. Man, I guess I just had to go and teach today. Oh, man, pastor called me to preach. Okay, pastor, I do it. Is that your motivation? Be happy. Be happy that God has called you, that God has entrusted you in such an awesome position to give his word, and you will not be disappointed on the other side. You will not be. Third, their motives are pure and righteous. Spiritual leaders are more concerned with what they can give through their service rather than what they can get because of their service. My mom's church has a conference every year. They're Southern Baptist, something like that. And she told me this story many, many, many years ago about they were trying to find a prominent speaker to come speak at their church conference. And so this really changed my mind a lot about these pastors, the ones we see on TV and hear on the radio and whatnot. So some of them wanted like thousands and thousands of dollars to come to speak at their conference. And at this time, the Reverend Jerry Falwell was living. How many of y'all know the Reverend Jerry Falwell? I think we all have heard of him. And so they eventually got a hold of Reverend Jerry Falwell. And he came to speak. And he didn't charge them not one dime. Because he just wanted to go and just speak to the church. He wasn't like them other ones that wanted thousands and thousands of dollars to come and speak. Because they couldn't afford it. And because they couldn't afford it, they didn't want to come. But the Reverend Jerry Falwell came. And then he didn't charge them not one dime. I always like to say that if your service to the Lord, you can always ask this central question to find out where your heart is. And that is, like I said, what is your motive for doing what you're doing in service to the Lord? What is your motive? What is your motive? If your motives are not pure and righteous, then your service and your spiritual leadership role must be suspect. Fourth, Peter says that they are examples. Those in leadership positions in the church are examples. Spiritual leaders should lead by example. That's everybody. In other words, if they're going to speak it, then they should be practicing it. One of the Marine Corps leadership traits is lead by example. How hypocritical it is to see a person or a leader do the exact opposite of what they're supposed to be teaching. Ain't it hypocritical? The quickest and surefire way to lose your integrity as a leader and the confidence of your people is to be labeled and appear to be hypocritical. As spiritual leaders, we all must remain completely dependent upon our Lord. Don't get to a position to where you, oh man, I've arrived, I got this. Oh, I don't need to pray today, I'm good. That's when you're going to begin to set yourself up for failure. We must remain completely dependent on the Lord and never, 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 never. How many, did I say never enough? Never get filled with pride and lose your way in your spiritual leadership position. Never. Never get filled with pride. Because you know that if you get filled with pride, God is obligated to knock you down. God said in Isaiah 42:8 and 48:11, I will not give my glory to another. You want to get on God's bad side? Start to steal his glory. Oh, look what I did. You start strutting around like a peacock, thinking you this and thinking you that. Keep doing that. God's going to send you those warning shots across your bow. You better cool it down. But you still thinking, oh, I'm good, I got it. God gonna send you another warning shot across your bow. But Lord, look what I did. Monday, God gonna come in with a direct hit on your pride and would knock you down. That's what he did to me. Oh, I could smell the clouds because I was so prideful. But God knocked me down. And that's how come I'm telling y'all now, don't let that happen to y'all. Because I know what it can do. God has his way of getting your attention for those who call him his Lord. He has his way of getting your attention. So by maintaining a spirit of caring for God's people, serving willingly, our motives are pure and righteous and leading by example. For those of you who are spiritual leaders in the church, by staying true to this calling, in the end, there will be a crown of glory awaiting for you. Can I get a witness, somebody? Our last crown we want to talk about today is this. The crown of life. The crown of life. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. This crown is for all of us who endure and triumph over various trials and persecutions in life. This temptation is to convey that if we endure until the end, we shall be saved. All of the heartaches that you've suffered, all of the tears that you've cried, all of life's bitter disappointments that you may have experienced, all of the persecutions of the trials in your life that you may have endured will not matter if we continue on the path of glory until the end and we are glorified. It's not going to matter. God said that he's going to wipe away every tear from my eye. He's going to wipe away all that stuff. Some of us are going through things right now. We may not even can begin to understand and fathom, why, God, are you allowing me to go through this? You say you love me. You say you this. You say you that. But why am I going through all of this? We've all probably have been there in our lives at a time or two. Well, we may have shot up those questions to God in rapid fire, in succession, one after the other, asking, why am I going through this? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why? Now, one time do I recall in Scripture that Jesus asked why. But he did say that if it is possible, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. We got to go through sometimes to get through the other side. And if it means that you have to go through Samaria and have to go through a little something-something, well, you go through Samaria and go through a little something-something, because those who endure until the end shall be saved. Can I get a witness, somebody? For nothing in this life can compare to what awaits us on the other side. How do I know this? Isaiah 64:4 in the King James Version. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has seen the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that await for him. God has something ready for y'all on the other side. You just got to hold on just a little bit longer so you can wait to receive it, and you know it's going to be there for you. The scriptures already tell us what's there for us, but we got to continue to go through just a little bit longer. I want the crown of life. I don't know about y'all, but I want it. You ever know when there's something that you want, you really press for it? I know when I wanted my wife, boy, I was on her. That's the way it's got to be for the crown of life. If we want it, we got to continue to strive for it. If we want to see Jesus, well, we got to continue to strive that we want to see him on the other side. Oh, come on, man. Y'all know when you wanted your wife, you chased her too. You know you did. You wanted that woman. Yeah, I want that woman. This is your glorification, and God, along with his son, Jesus Christ, is waiting to receive you with open arms. People like to say, Peter standing at the pearly gates. I ain't waiting to see Peter. I'm waiting to see Jesus Christ. That's who I'm waiting to see. Oh, can I get a witness? Somebody. Peter may have a book or something. I'm like, okay, you cool, but hey, I'm going to see the Lord. Trials of our faith will come. 1 Peter 1:7 confirms this. We will suffer persecution as long as we live godly or righteously. 2 Timothy 3:12 confirms this. We will go through various wilderness experiences in our lives because of the will of God. 1 Peter 4:19 confirms this. Therefore, do not have a pity party because it is happening to you. Oh, man. Why me? This can't be happening. Don't cry. Why me? Because this is happening. Don't do that. Don't do it. Don't murmur or complain because you're going through a little something, something. I broke my ankle. Man, Lord, why you do that to me today? It's raining, the car broke down, and I got to get outside and change the tire. Lord, why that's happening? Don't do that. I was driving down, had a bad day at work. And I'm just about done. Had a bad day at work one day, probably about a year ago. I mean, it was just a perfect storm. And so I drove to work that day. I'm in a carpool, but I had to drive to work that day. And so I wasn't saying, like, why me or this or that. I could have easily did it, but I didn't. But my mind was a million miles away from the highway. So I'm cruising down through and going through San Diego doing about 85. My mind wasn't in it. So I go down a little hill. Ooh, there come the lights. And, oh, man. Oh, my goodness. But my mind wasn't in it. So the guy pulled me over and said, hey, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. I'm so-and-so, so-and-so. Can I see your driver's license registration? He said, you know how fast you're going? I said, you know what, officer? I just had it's just a horrible bad day. I don't even know how fast I'm going. My mind wasn't even in it. He said, well, you was doing about 85 in a 65. I'm like, oh, okay. And so I'm just down like this. I'm still thinking about the day. But I didn't murmur or complain. I didn't say anything. I'm just like, just a bad day. But the officer came back. He said, you know what? I'm not going to add to your bad day. I'm just going to give you a little $25 citation. Remove the tint off your windows. And I just hope that your day goes good. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And the even better part about it is about a month later, we got rid of the car and got a new one. So I didn't even have to move the tent. So then God worked that out. So what does that mean? That don't always murmur and complain because you go through a little something, something. You continue to live your life for God, and God has already got it worked out. But what are you going to do through the process? Are you going to delay the blessing? Are you going to stop the blessing? Israel, an 11-day journey turned into a 40-year wilderness experience. Why? Because 3 days removed from Egypt, they murmured and complained because they had no water. Murmuring and complaining can delay and even stop the blessings from God. We will go through various trials and wilderness experiences. Like I said, don't have a pity party. Why? Because think it not strange can turn into fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you will also be glad with exceeding joy in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. Now, I'm a realistic person. I know there's going to be occasions when we say this or we say that. I know that. I know there is. I know sometimes we're going to murmur, we're going to complain. We're human. I know that. I do. But remember, don't let a temporary problem cause you to have a permanent setback. Do not let a temporary problem cause you to have a permanent setback. Sometimes I believe we need to get a new starting point in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I do. So when you have that temporary problem, instead of having a permanent setback, regroup, refocus, and reestablish your attention and get a new starting point in your relationship with Christ. That is why David could say what he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all in Psalms 34, 19. Temptations and tests are sometimes intertwined. In James chapter 1, the first 12 verses, these temptations are tests or what the Christian will go through their lives. But these temptations or tests are not designed to draw you away from God, but rather to draw you closer to him. Why? So that you know that your dependence and your ultimate deliverance comes from God and not from your money, not from your circumstances, not because how good you think you look, none of that. All because of what God can do for you. And those who endure until the end, and as you continue to draw closer to God, there will be a crown of life waiting for you, which I do believe that every single believer who endures until the end and shall be saved, you will receive the crown of life. Can I get a witness, somebody? Hallelujah. So in closing, because 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us that those who choose to live godly or righteously in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, where you're going to go through a little something, something. every believer that goes through something, or for those who choose not to walk away from their faith, but endure until the end, like I said, you will not only be saved, but you will receive the crown of life. Therefore, let the words of Paul to the Colossians be your mandate as you begin your week and serve our Lord with gladness and cheerfulness. Colossians 1, 10 through 11. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And all of God's people say it.
Amen.
Shall we stand? As Jeff and Lisa make their way to the front, for those of you who may want prayer, sometimes the walk is hard. I get that. Sometimes we may not understand why we go through this or we go through that. I got that too. But Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. He never will. We've all have experienced ups and downs, tragedy, and things of that sort in our lives. But our joy should remain. Our joy doesn't come from our outward experiences, but it comes from our inward relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that our dependence is upon him, and that one day when all of this is said and done, we will be with him forever in eternity. And nothing on this side will matter. But you got to hold on and endure. So stay encouraged, Christian. Stay encouraged. Because as the scriptures are my final authority, in the end, it will be worth it. Can I get a witness, somebody? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your marvelous word. I pray, Father, that we just continue on in our race called life. That, Father, we know what the finish line is, and we know that Jesus Christ is on the other side of the finish line waiting for us. Father, sometimes we may fall and we may slip. Sometimes, Lord, we may have to crawl. But instead of us keeping our head down and looking at the ground, we need to look up, because Jesus is at the finish line saying, come on, keep going. Don't give up. Get up, Christian. If you need help, I am there. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. So don't give up, Christian. Pick yourself up and continue to run that race, because I am here waiting for you if you just don't give up. So, Father, help us not to give up and to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. So instead of walking down with our heads kicking the can down the road, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and to put one foot in front of the other as we continue to move forward in our relationship with him. Oh God, how much we love you. And may every day of our lives be a daily mandate to live to please you, and that you will be ultimately glorified. So you will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. For that is what we want to hear. So it's in the sweet, precious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, your servant prays, and all of God's people say it.